You know, our first boyfriends or girlfriends can teach us a lot about people. Now, not usually, that doesn't usually happen in the moment, but later, in hindsight, we can find that we learned a great deal about human psychology from those early relationships. And my first real boyfriend was no exception. But now, to understand my relationship with this guy, you need to know that I grew up in a household with a very unhealthy relationship example. My parents fought a lot. Truthfully, I'm not even sure they really liked each other all that much. But I learned early on that I was not able to fix their problems. I couldn't fix them, either individually or collectively. But somewhere deep down in my adolescent brain, I think I was seeking out someone who I could fix. Well, you know how this plays out, right? Yeah, not well. I brought all of my baggage to the relationship, he brought all of his baggage, and I tried only to deal with his, and he tried to pretend there was no baggage whatsoever. But what that experience taught me was that he and I both struggled at that time thinking that we were loved in the relationship. We both came to this with unresolved feelings of shame and of guilt and of insecurity, and that led both of us, in different ways, to feel unlovable. And it is almost impossible to feel love from another person if you consider yourself to be unlovable. But it's also exceedingly difficult to love others when we see them sharing the same faults that we know we have. And so before we can move forward in our journey to loving others as Jesus loved, we got to begin by looking inward. Remember, the commandment is to love your neighbor as you love who? Yourself. And if we aren't loving ourselves, how on earth will we ever love others? I think the two biggest things that prevent us from loving ourselves are guilt and shame. And I think they're part of practically every human experience. But if we don't learn to deal with those feelings, if we don't learn to resolve them, they're going to hinder us in many areas of our lives. The wrongs that we have committed and the wrongs that have been done to us that maybe leave us feeling as if we were somehow responsible can leave us feeling unlovable. And so we try to hide our guilt and our shame from the world, convinced that if people only knew who we really are, then no one could love us. And of course, then we start to think that God cannot love us. After all, we can't even love ourselves. But friends, hear this. God knows. God knows all of those parts of you that you try to hide away. God sees into those dark corners of your souls. He sees the worst parts of you and calls you beloved. Now, in our family, we recently went through an experience that brought this into stark relief for me. And I forgot to tell Virg I was sharing this story. I have permission to share this story. 6 months ago, 5 days before our son's wedding, he was arrested for marijuana possession. My emotions ran the gamut from anger to disappointment to fear. But when it came right down to it, that's still my son. And when I looked in his face, my heart still swelled with love for him. Still swells with love for him. Sure, I could see his mistakes, but it didn't matter. I still love him. And now if I, as imperfect as I am, as judgmental as I can be, can love my child in the midst of his faults, then of course God, whose love is so much bigger, so much purer than mine, can love us in our faults. We are God's beloved children. And God loves all of us exactly as we are. You've heard me say it before. You will hear me say it again. God does not expect us to get our acts together before we can be called children of God. God loves us today, with all of our faults, our sins, all of the junk. God loves us as we are. But God also loves us too much to leave us as we are. The closer we walk with God, the more we will find that God's love changes us. We become more and more loving the more we are exposed to God's pure love. Once we can begin to accept that God loves us as we are, once we can begin to deal with our own guilt and our shame and release them to God's healing power, the easier our journey towards loving our neighbors will be. I get it. Loving my neighbors would be a whole lot easier if they were just more like me, because I'm a delight. But God has created humanity with a diversity of opinions, of life experiences, of outlooks, of temperaments. In the book that we're reading that goes along with this series, author Tom Berlin points out the wide range of personalities that Jesus gathered around him as his disciples. Now, we saw part of that in our reading today. Jesus called fishermen. These were uneducated, low-income, blue-collar working men. And then he goes and calls Levi the tax collector, highly educated, rich, and absolutely hated around town. He also called hotheads as his disciples, as well as those who were calm and steady. Jesus' followers were men and women, rich and poor, likable and not so much, pure of heart, and those who were willing to sell his life for 30 pieces of silver. This was about as diverse a group as you can imagine. The only thing they had in common was a desire to follow Jesus and to learn from him. But this diverse group of people had to live together, work together, side by side, day after day, for 3 years, with all of their differences. Now, if Jesus could draw that circle wide around him and include all of those different types of persons, perhaps we can too. Perhaps we should too. A reading from Romans says that we should accept one another as Christ accepted us. And that means no matter how different from us they are, with all of their faults and their annoying behaviors and ideas, and as repugnant as they may be, we are to accept them, to lift them up, to love them. You know, I keep thinking about this great diversity that exists in humanity. Not just the surface differences of race or gender or so forth, but the deeper diversity that exists. Different schools of thought, different ideas of how the world should work, different understandings and practicing of faith, different ways that families are structured, different ways that governments operate. God created this great diversity of humankind. And then God said, go out there and love each other. God must have known. God did know how difficult this was going to be for us. But in this fallen world, we are more prone to suspicion and distrust and fear than we are to love. Wouldn't it have been easier to just make us all alike? Has everybody seen the movie The Wizard of Oz? Right? We all know this movie, right? Now, I want you to try to think back to the very first time you saw that movie. Now, the movie starts out, and it's all in these sepia tones, right? It's not even black and white. It's brown and white. And it's fine. There's a nice girl on a nice farm singing a nice song about rainbows. And everything's brown. And it's fine. Well, monotone, but it's not offensive. Even the mean old lady on the bicycle. Okay, she's crabby. She didn't like the dog. It's fine. Whatever. And then the tornado happens, right? And everything's blowing around and twisting around, and when all of that finally stops, you remember when Dorothy opens that door? Wow! Full spectacular Technicolor! Right? And it's amazing! There's a yellow brick road and little green munchkins and a good witch in a bubble coming down out of the sky. Things are weird. Really, really weird. There's a walking, talking scarecrow, a man made of tin and a lion afraid of his own shadow. There's flying monkeys and fields after fields after fields covered with beautiful poppies. Everything is richer, everything is more vibrant, and everything is topsy-turvy. But in this world that she has found, where everybody is different, everything is different, there is diversity like she has never known or experienced before, she finds some amazing things. The friends that she makes along the way are as different from her as night is from day, but their love for each other is true. And even after all that she goes through, when she manages to get back to Kansas, yeah, things are monotone again. But she still sees the faces of her friends in those around her. I believe that the vibrant rainbow of life that she found in Oz changed her forever for the better. Her worldview, her experiences, her understanding, her compassion were all expanded by her time in Oz. And all of that returned with her to Kansas, to the land of monotone. But she saw more than just shades of brown, because once she had experienced the full spectrum of Oz, I think she saw those colors everywhere she went. Well, so it is with us. As our circle expands, as we experience people and situations outside of our norm, outside of our comfort zone, outside of our echo chamber, we are made better, more compassionate, more loving, more as God would have us be. So let us all be on the lookout for ways that we can expand this circle of the family of faith to people who don't look like us, think like us, or act like us. And let's show them the life-changing love of God, who loves us warts and all, and who loves them just as much. Let it be so. Amen.